whose perfect IRA balance in retirement is zero, they can begin shifting these dollars to the tax-free bucket, taking advantage of low tax rates while they're still around. Let's assume that the Johnsons' taxable income this year is $80,000, putting them at a marginal tax bracket of 22%. As of 2018, the 22% tax bracket maxes out at $165,000. Assuming that tax rates stay level, this means the Johnsons can shift $85,000 per year out of their IRAs into the tax-free bucket. By shifting $85,000 per year, they will have reduced their IRAs to zero before they reach retirement, assuming asset growth of 6.5% per year. By beginning the shifting process today, the Johnsons take advantage of our historically low tax rates and get most of the heavy lifting done before tax rates are likely to rise. Assuming a federal tax rate of 22% and an additional 6% for state, this shifting strategy would incur additional annual taxes of $23,800. Remember, the Johnsons can pay that tax out of the IRAs themselves because they're both age 60, but they may not want to. Because they have $200,000 in taxable mutual funds, they could easily pay that $23,800 tax bill out of that bucket. By doing so, they would be taking their least valuable dollars, taxable, and using them as a catalyst to springboard their second least valuable dollars, tax-deferred, into their most valuable bucket, tax-free. After paying that $23,800 tax bill out of their taxable bucket, they can now shift all $85,000 into the tax-free bucket. Before we discuss which combinations of tax-free alternatives will best meet their needs, let me highlight an important aspect of the Johnsons' financial profile. As you can see, most of the Johnsons' major assets are in Steve's name. It's important to assess who owns which assets, because this has major repercussions for long-term care. If Steve were to need long-term care, for example, all the assets in his name would be earmarked for the long-term care facility. The only problem is that Jennifer was planning on using these assets to support her lifestyle in retirement. Now, she must try to get by on her IRA, $100,000, her minimum monthly maintenance needs allowance, MMMNA, and any money remaining in her taxable mutual funds, up to $120,900. Should Jennifer need long-term care, only her smaller IRA, $100,000, her Social Security income, $1,000 per month, and a portion of their joint mutual funds, anything above $120,900, would go to the long-term care facility. Once her IRA was consumed, she would then qualify for Medicaid. If that were to happen, Steve could easily survive on his $72,000 pension, his IRA, and the exempted portion of his Social Security. Given this reality, Steve has a glaring need for long-term care protection, much more so than Jennifer. If that's the case, it could make sense for Steve to divert a portion of the $85,000 annual shift, say $20,000, to a life insurance retirement plan, LIRP. When structured properly, this could give him all the tax-free growth opportunities available within the Roth IRA, while providing a death benefit that could be accelerated for the purpose of paying for long-term care. The remaining $46,400 could then be converted to a Roth IRA on an annual basis. While it is not possible for the Johnsons to get to the 0% tax bracket because of Steve's pension, we've maximized the tax efficiency of their portfolio by doing the following. 1. We reduced their IRAs to the perfect balance, zero, through asset shifting while taking advantage of historically low tax rates. 2. We utilized their least valuable assets, their taxable mutual funds, as a catalyst to reposition their IRAs into the tax-free bucket. 3. We protected the Johnsons against a long-term care event on Steve by utilizing a LERP, while at the same time accumulating tax-free dollars for retirement. 4. We utilized a Roth conversion to help reposition their IRAs into the tax-free bucket in order to protect against tax rate risk. In summary, having a pension is not a good reason to throw in the towel when it comes to protecting yourself against the threat of rising taxes. While it's true that you have no control over your pension's taxation in retirement, there is still a lot you can control. By knowing your pension amount in advance, you can determine the right amount of money to have in your tax-deferred bucket. Once that's determined, you can begin a shifting program that will get you as close to the 0% tax bracket as is mathematically possible. Although your pension may always be taxable, you can still be in the 0% bracket as it relates to your other assets. Begin by identifying which shifting needs to take place today, and then systematically reposition these dollars into the tax-free bucket before tax rates go up. An experienced tax-free retirement specialist can help you navigate the complexities and pitfalls you may encounter during the shifting process. 9. The Tax-Free Roadmap. Even under the traditional tax-deferred approach to retirement planning, I'm a big fan of having a financial advisor. The fact is, unless you have an expert to help you manage your road to retirement, emotion can often impede the process and erode rates of return. You've heard the old adage, buy low and sell high, right? Well, when investors succumb to their emotions, they typically do just the opposite. As an example of this, look at the investor carnage in the wake of the 2008 market crash. I can tell you countless stories of investors who, absent a financial advisor, waited until the market had fallen 50% to 60% before they decided to pull out. Then, having been so traumatized by their losses, they kept their money on the sidelines as the stock market rebounded and returned to its near 2007 highs. In many cases, this happened simply because there wasn't anyone there to talk them off the ledge. Study after study shows that emotion-driven investing can erode more growth from your portfolio than almost any other factor. For that reason alone, I'm a huge advocate of having someone to hold your hand along the way. Emotion isn't the only thing that can derail your retirement plan, especially when it comes to tax-free retirement planning. As you may have observed, the pursuit of the 0% tax bracket is a bit more involved than traditional tax-deferred investing. It takes a good blueprint, constant course adjustments, and the foresight to anticipate the pitfalls that may arise along the way. In this chapter, we will discuss the value of partnering with a tax-free planning specialist who can assist you in the creation of what I call a tax-free roadmap. This roadmap can be described as an asset-shifting schedule based on your current balances, contributions, and anticipated rates of growth. Having both a tax-free planning specialist and a tax-free roadmap is indispensable to helping you navigate the pitfalls along your way to the 0% tax bracket. Finding the perfect balance in each bucket. One of the recurring themes in this book has been the importance of accumulating the right amount of money in each of the three buckets. Having the wrong balance in any of these accounts can have massive unintended consequences for you in your pursuit of the 0% tax bracket. The taxable bucket. Determining the ideal balance in the taxable bucket is the first step. In Chapter 2, we established that the perfect balance is the amount necessary to safeguard against life's unexpected emergencies, about 6 months' worth of income. While this seems straightforward enough, difficulties arise if you have too much money in this bucket and need to reposition it to the tax-free bucket. Let's say, for example, that your ideal balance is $50,000, yet you have accumulated $200,000. To compound the problem, you have it in mutual funds, and it's growing at 5% per year. Remember, you can't shift the entire $150,000 surplus into the tax-free bucket all in 1 year. Due to the contribution limitations of the various tax-free alternatives we've covered, your money has to be shifted over a period of time. But how much should you shift each year? Over how many years? And into which tax-free accounts? The answers to all these questions can be found in the creation of a tax-free roadmap. The tax-deferred bucket. The real complexity emerges, however, when trying to determine the ideal balance in the tax-deferred bucket. As previously mentioned, when you fail to temper the growth of this bucket, it can be nearly impossible to be in the 0% tax bracket in retirement. On the other hand, when you do not have enough money in this bucket, you won't be able to fully utilize your standard deduction in retirement. This means that you may have unwittingly shifted too much money into the tax-free bucket, paying unnecessary taxes along the way. When a tax-free planning specialist is building your tax-free roadmap, he will consider a number of variables in determining the ideal balance in this account. What will your standard deduction be in the year you retire? Are you contributing to your retirement plan above and beyond the match? If so, to what extent? What are your projected rates of return? Do you have a pension? If so, will it be more or less than your standard deduction? Does it have a cost of living adjustment, COLA? Should you do a 72T or a Roth conversion? As I mentioned in Chapter 4, the speed with which you shift these dollars matters. You want to shift dollars slowly enough that you don't inadvertently bump into a higher tax bracket, but quickly enough that you get all the heavy lifting done before tax rates go up. This is where a tax-free roadmap is indispensable. An experienced tax-free planning specialist can process all the variables unique to your situation and then determine the exact amounts that should be shifted annually to each of the tax-free alternatives. The tax-free bucket. Any dollars above and beyond the ideal balance in the first two buckets should be systematically redirected to the tax-free bucket. Any surplus contributions should likewise be redirected toward tax-free alternatives. A properly designed tax-free roadmap will incorporate the tax-free alternatives that will best meet your needs. Does a Roth IRA make sense? Do income thresholds require you to use a non-deductible IRA and then convert to Roth? Do your other IRA balances preclude you from using the non-deductible IRA conversion strategy? What about a LRP? How can this best be utilized to meet your tax-free retirement, life insurance, and long-term care needs? How do you structure the LRP to maximize returns within the tax-free growth account? A properly designed tax-free roadmap can also help transform your Social Security from a highly taxable stream of income into one that remains tax-free throughout your retirement. As a reminder, having your Social Security get taxed in retirement can be financially devastating. By losing a portion of your Social Security to taxes, you must compensate by taking additional distributions from your other investments. This act alone can deplete your assets 5 to 7 years faster than not having your Social Security taxed at all. But making sure your Social Security is tax-free requires a tricky balance. You want to take tax-free distributions out of your tax-deferred bucket, up to your standard deduction, but only to the extent that it does not breach the thresholds that cause your Social Security to get taxed. Your tax-free roadmap can help you balance all these competing interests and ensure that the pursuit of one goal doesn't impact the pursuit of another. Meeting with your tax-free planning specialist at least annually will help you navigate the pitfalls of the tax-deferred bucket and ensure the proper balances at retirement. The LERP. Utilizing the LERP in a thoughtful, well-balanced approach to tax-free retirement involves evaluating a number of different factors. The most important decision happens at the outset when you determine how to best grow the dollars within your LERP's growth account. If you'll recall from Chapter 5, there are three basic options. 1. General account of the life insurance company. 2. The stock market. 3. An index-based approach. Once you determine the option that best aligns with your retirement needs, you must then find a company to partner with. As with anything in life, not all LERPs are created equal. There are over 300 different companies that offer LERPs, not all of which are ideal partners in the tax-free retirement process. Your tax-free retirement specialist can assist you in sorting through all the carriers to find the one that will best meet your specific retirement needs. In evaluating these companies, you and your advisor will need to consider the following attributes. 1. Low expenses. Whatever drips out of your bucket in the form of expenses won't help you. Not only do you lose those dollars, but you lose the ability to earn interest on them as well. Not all companies' expenses are the same. 2. Long-term care provisions. Not all LERP carriers offer a long-term care provision. Some companies offer them, but charge exorbitant fees. If you're looking to mitigate a long-term care risk without having to pay for traditional long-term care insurance, make sure that your LERP has this important feature. 3. Cost-free distributions. All LERPs give you the ability to take money out tax-free, but not all of them give you the ability to take it out cost-free as well. In fact, some companies charge a rate of interest which, if not repaid, gets deducted from your growth account. So it's critical that you find a company that gives you the ability to take dollars out tax-free and cost-free. 4. Financial stability. You could find a company whose LERP has all the above-mentioned qualities, but unless they're financially stable, you risk foiling your entire plan. Financial stability should be paramount when considering a LERP company to partner with. When utilized properly, the LERP can be a critical cog in your efforts to reach the 0% tax bracket. Finding a company that has a LERP that aligns with your growth objectives, while also conforming to the above standards, can be a tricky proposition. A qualified tax-free retirement specialist understands the LERP marketplace and can help you navigate all of the various alternatives. After you've found the right company and chosen the method of growth that best suits your needs, you can then address the structuring of your LERP. To maximize the returns within your growth account, you must buy as little insurance as is required by the IRS. You must then contribute as much money as is allowed under the IRS guidelines. This strategy ensures that the expenses dripping out of your bucket will be small relative to the money accumulating inside your bucket. Remember, when properly structured, these expenses should average about 1.5% of your bucket per year over the life of the program. A qualified tax-free planning specialist understands how to structure your LERP and how to incorporate it into your strategy to get to the 0% tax bracket. Finding a tax-free planning specialist. As already mentioned, it's difficult, if not impossible, to create a tax-free roadmap without the help of someone who's been down this road before. A qualified tax-free planning specialist has the experience and know-how that sets him apart from an ordinary financial advisor. Most traditional financial advisors are mired in the tax-deferred approach to retirement planning. You're earning X, I think I can get you X plus one. In order to create a tax-free roadmap, an advisor must be familiar with all the pitfalls of the traditional tax-deferred investing paradigm and be well-versed in the tax-free strategies that will land you at the 0% tax bracket before tax rates go up for good. Begin your search by having a discussion with the advisor who gave you this book. If he gave it to you, it's because he felt like it was critical to your financial well-being. This act alone should set this advisor apart from other financial advisors in the world of traditional tax-deferred investing. Begin by asking questions about how these principles apply to your specific situation. If the advisor answers your questions to your satisfaction, proceed to the next step, the creation of a tax-free roadmap. Once this roadmap is complete, you can begin your journey toward the 0% tax bracket. 10. Frequently Asked Questions. My main reason for writing this book is to help you understand how to insulate and protect your hard-earned assets from the impact of the tax freight train, of which I spoke in the first chapter. As I've said throughout the book, the best way to do so is to rearrange your assets so that you are in the 0% tax bracket when you retire. While the benefits of achieving the 0% tax bracket seem straightforward, the path along the way can be fraught with hazards, pitfalls, and unexpected detours. Because of that, I have included this final chapter in an attempt to answer the most commonly asked questions that arise during the planning process. Ultimately, the best way to answer questions that pertain to your specific situation is to consult with a tax-free planning specialist. General questions. Question: Am I too old to adopt this strategy? Answer: Allow me to answer this question with a few questions of my own. What if you decide not to take advantage of today's historically low tax rates and postpone the payment of those taxes until a later date? What if at that later date, tax rates are twice as high as they are today? Will you look back at this period of historically low tax rates and say, why didn't I take advantage of those rates while they were on sale? So the real question that you have to consider is this: do you think you'll still be alive when tax rates are higher than they are today? If so, you're not too old to take advantage of these strategies. Question: Can I be in the 0% tax bracket and still be a good citizen? Answer: Let me answer this by deferring to Judge Learned Hand, the most famous judge that never became a Supreme Court justice. Anyone may so arrange his affairs that his taxes shall be as low as possible. He is not bound to choose that pattern which best pays the treasury. There is not even a patriotic duty to increase one's taxes. Over and over again, the courts have said that there is nothing sinister in so arranging one's affairs as to keep taxes as low as possible. Everybody does so, rich or poor, and all do right, for nobody owes any public duty to pay more than the law demands. I would like to emphasize one additional point. We're not suggesting that you not pay taxes. The cost of getting into the tax-free bucket is that you have to be willing to pay taxes today. We're simply suggesting that you pay taxes at historically low tax rates to avoid potentially higher rates later on. Question: If this is so great, why isn't everyone doing it? Answer: I've found that many advisors who adhere to the traditional tax-deferred approach to retirement planning can be averse to this type of planning. Here's why. The typical financial planner makes a living by managing your money. A typical fee might be 1% of your assets per year. If a financial advisor is managing your $1 million IRA, then he's making about $10,000 per year. If he convinces you that taxes in the future are going to be substantially higher than today, you might feel compelled to shift that $1 million into the tax-free bucket. The problem is, the tax-free bucket has a cost of admission, taxes. Let's say that you pay 30% in taxes to get into the tax-free bucket. Your advisor is now only managing $700,000 of your money. If he's still making 1% of your total assets, he just cut his pay from $10,000 to $7,000. Most financial advisors get paid to make your money grow, not to maximize your distributions in retirement. It is important that your money grow in retirement, but it's critical that it grow in the right environment. Remember, not all buckets are created equal. Questions about the taxable bucket. Question: what happens if I receive an inheritance? Answer: one of the most important questions that we can ask in the planning process is the timing and amount of inheritances. You see, most inheritances come to you in the form of a check, which you promptly deposit into your checking account. In other words, the taxable bucket. You could have spent 10 years shifting assets out of your taxable bucket into the tax-free bucket, only to see your prospects of getting to the 0% tax bracket dashed by this unexpected windfall. For that purpose, it's important to try to guesstimate the timing and amounts of inheritance, as hard as that is to do, so that your tax-free roadmap can make provisions for that money to be shifted into the tax-free bucket. Question: what if I want to have more than 6 months' worth of income in my taxable bucket? Answer: it's acceptable to have more than 6 months' worth of income in this bucket, so long as you recognize that it comes at a price. Since a disproportionate percentage of your net worth is taxable, you could end up paying more taxes than is necessary and, ultimately, risk having a portion of your Social Security taxed. Questions about the tax-deferred bucket. Question: is there ever an instance where I would not want to contribute to my 401k up to my employer's match? Answer: actually, there is. Remember, one of the main goals of your tax-free roadmap should be to make your Social Security tax-free, if possible. In some cases, making a contribution to your 401k just so that you can get an anemic match could ultimately cause your Social Security to be taxed. For example, your 401k requires you to contribute 6% of your income in order to get a 25 cents on the dollar match. You're deferring a significant portion of your income to your 401k just so that you can capture this infinitesimally small amount. As a result, you're pumping up your 401k to the point where your RMDs may be so large that your Social Security becomes taxed. It might make more sense to forego the match and divert that 6% to your tax-free bucket to increase the likelihood of getting your Social Security tax-free. Once again, a tax-free planning specialist can help you understand if your 401k's match is big enough to justify making a contribution. Questions about the Roth IRA. Question: can the government decide to tax your Roth IRA at retirement? Answer: since 1997, the IRS has given you the option of being taxed on the seed or on the harvest. With a Roth IRA, you're taxed on the seed. With a traditional IRA, you're taxed on the harvest. To tax you on both the seed and the harvest would be unprecedented and would likely get more than a few politicians thrown out of office. A more likely scenario would be for the IRS to eliminate all future contributions to the Roth IRA. You'd likely keep what was in there, but lose the ability to make further contributions. Question. What is the 5-year rule with the Roth IRA? Answer. This rule determines whether or not distributions from your Roth IRA are taxable. First of all contributions can be taken from your Roth IRA at any time without tax and without penalty. In order to take the growth out of these accounts penalty-free, you have to be at least 59 and a half and have had an established Roth IRA account for at least 5 years. For example, let's say that you're 60 and you make a first-time contribution of $6,500 to a Roth IRA that grows to $7,000 by the time you're 61. You could withdraw the $6,500 at any point, but would have to wait until 5 years after your initial contribution date to access the growth. The initial contribution date is January 1st of the tax year in which you made the contribution. Question. If I'm working part-time in retirement, can I still contribute to a Roth IRA? Answer. To contribute to a Roth IRA, you have to have earned income. You have to be earning a paycheck. For anyone over age 50, you can contribute whatever your earned income is, or $6,500 in 2018, whichever is less. If you and your spouse are over 50 and only one of you is working, you can contribute up to $13,000 or whatever your earned income is, whichever is less. Questions about Roth conversions. What is the 5-year rule with the Roth conversion? Answer. If you do a Roth conversion before you are 59 and a half, you have to wait 5 years or until 59 and a half, whichever comes first, before you can touch the principal without tax and penalty. If you are already 59 and a half when you make the conversion, you can touch the principal immediately, but have to wait 5 years before you touch any of the earnings without penalty. Question. Does the Roth conversion have income limitations? Answer. Prior to 2010, there was a $100,000 income limitation, but now anyone can do a Roth conversion regardless of income level. Question. How quickly should I convert my Roth IRA? Answer. Quickly enough that you pay the taxes owed before tax rates rise dramatically, but slowly enough that you don't bump yourself into a dramatically higher tax bracket. Question. Does it ever make sense to convert my IRA to a Roth all in 1 year? Answer. The first scenario in which you might want to convert all of your IRA in 1 year is if it's small enough to keep you in a reasonably low tax bracket. For example, if you make $100,000 per year and you have a $30,000 IRA, you could convert all of it while staying in the 22% tax bracket. The second scenario in which it might make sense to convert all of your IRA to a Roth in 1 year is if you anticipate always being in the highest marginal tax bracket. For example, if you're currently in the highest marginal tax bracket, 37% in 2018, and don't see that changing in retirement, you could convert unlimited amounts of IRAs and only be taxed at 37%. This especially makes sense if you think the highest marginal tax rate in the future will rise over time. Take advantage of the low rates today and get all the shifting done in 1 year. Questions about the LRP. Question. What are the expenses in the LRP? Answer. Most LRPs have some administrative expenses, but the majority of expenses come from the cost of insurance. These expenses are greater in the early years and lower in the later years. But, considered over the life of the program, they should end up costing you about 1.5% of your bucket per year, assuming the policy is structured to maximize cash accumulation. This is very similar to the expenses that you might find in a traditional 401k. In the 401k, you're paying three different people or entities, the money manager, the financial advisor, and the third-party administrator. In the LERP, you don't pay these expenses, but you do pay the cost of insurance. The difference with the LERP is that the 1.5% you pay per year over the life of the program actually gets you a real substantive benefit, which you can then utilize during your lifetime for the purpose of long-term care or at death as a death benefit. Question: how soon can I touch my money? Answer: LERPs generally have a surrender period or vesting schedule, similar to a 401k. These restrictions exist because life insurance companies incur substantial expenses when getting these programs up and running. By putting a surrender period in place, they're simply saying that, should you decide to cash everything in and run for the border, they reserve the right to recuperate all those expenses they incurred at the outset of the program. In other words, they don't want to take a bath if you have second thoughts 3 years into the program. In fact, most of these companies don't manage to break even until 7 years into the contract. Having said that, with most LERPs, you do typically have limited access to the money in the first or second year. Although it's important to understand what escape hatches you have, you must also bear in mind that this bucket works the best when you allow it to grow and marinate over time. As a general rule, your tax-free vehicles are your most valuable and should be the last to be liquidated in the event of an emergency. Ideally, you want to postpone distributions from these assets until a period of much higher tax rates. Conversely, the best time to shift or spend dollars from tax-deferred assets is during periods of historically low tax rates. By following these rules, you will ultimately have math on your side and be able to wring the most efficiency out of your retirement dollars. Question: what happens if I run out of money in my LERP before I die? Answer: we want to avoid this scenario at all costs. If you don't have at least $1 in your LERP at death, the government says that your intent wasn't really to utilize this vehicle as a life insurance contract. So, all the taxes that you avoided along the way would come due all in 1 year. For that reason, your LERP must have features that safeguard against this ever happening. Some companies call this provision an overloan protection rider. Question: how can distributions from a LERP be tax-free? Answer: distributions are only tax-free if the money is taken out the correct way. If you take a normal distribution, like you might with a 401k or IRA, the money can be taxable. By taking money out by way of a loan, however, then it is tax-free. Anytime you receive a loan, whether from the bank or your rich uncle, that money does not show up on your tax return as income. Why? Because the IRS anticipates that you will pay the money back with dollars that have been taxed. When you take money out of your LERP, the life insurance company is actually giving you a loan from their own coffers. This is how it works. You call up and say, I need $10,000. They take $10,000 out of your growth account with a balance of $100,000 and put it into a loan collateral account that earns 3% per year. Now, you have $90,000 in your bucket, right? Wrong. Since you still have $10,000 in your loan collateral account, your bucket technically still contains $100,000. In the very same transaction, the life insurance company sends you a loan from their own coffers. For this loan, they charge you 3% interest. Remember, loans don't show up on your tax return. When you die, all the money in the loan collateral account is used to pay back the outstanding loan that you have with the company. Because the interest charged on the loan is the same as the interest being credited in the loan collateral account, the net cost to you over the course of your lifetime is zero. In short, you asked for $10,000, you received $10,000 in the mail, your growth account went down by $10,000, and you never paid any tax. That's how we utilize this bucket to take tax-free distributions. Question: how soon can I take the 0% loan? Answer: it depends on the company, but in some cases, it can be as early as the first day of the sixth year. Question: what if I want to take money out before the 0% loan option is available? Answer: as a rule of thumb, if you need to take money out before the 0% loan is available, you can simply take a withdrawal. Any dollars that you've contributed to the program, your basis, can be distributed tax-free as a return on your principal. Question: what's the difference between death benefit options in a LERP? Answer: you can structure your LERP's death benefit in two different ways, or options. With option one, as the cash in your account grows, the amount of life insurance that the government requires you to maintain goes down. It follows this formula: cash value plus life insurance equals death benefit. Let's say that in day one of the program, your cash value is zero. Following the above formula, if your death benefit is $500,000, then the amount of life insurance you're paying for that year is also $500,000. However, 10 years into the program, you might have closer to $100,000 in your growth account. Following that same formula, the amount of life insurance you would pay for that year would only be $400,000. With option two, the amount of life insurance that you're paying for never changes. Therefore, in the above example, if you had cash value of $100,000, then the amount of life insurance you'd be paying for in year 10 would still be $500,000, making your overall death benefit $600,000. For this reason, option two is also referred to as an increasing death benefit option. Question: what limits do I have on how much money I can put into the LERP? Answer: the IRS links contribution levels in the LERP to death benefit amounts. The greater the death benefit, the more you can contribute. But it's the life insurance companies, not the IRS, that place limits on how much of a death benefit you can have. In the post-9/11 world, this death benefit amount tops out at about 25 times your annual salary, with slight modifications for age. Let's say that you're 45 and make $100,000 per year. Based on the parameters that I just mentioned, the life insurance company would typically allow a death benefit as high as $2,500,000. In this scenario, you would be allowed to contribute up to $170,000 per year. For all intents and purposes, there are no contribution limits to the LERP, so long as your death benefit remains at 25 times your salary or less. Question: what if I run across hard times and can't fund my LERP for a while? Answer: so long as there is money in your surrender value to sustain the expenses that drip out of the spigot, you can stop your contributions. Question: if I get a big bonus from work, can I just drop it into my LERP? Answer: you can, but it may inhibit you from putting more money in later down the road. Generally, based on the death benefit of your LERP, there's a finite amount of money that you can contribute over your lifetime. The IRS also requires that you stream this money in over a period of years, as opposed to contributing it all in a single year. If you put too much money in during any given year, you can violate the IRS guidelines and lose the tax-free protection of the bucket. Question: will the IRS ever change the rules on this program? Answer: most likely, yes. As our country slides slowly into insolvency, they'll start looking in all quarters for additional revenue. This program costs the government about $80 billion per year, so they will most likely attempt to eliminate it somewhere in the future. However, if history serves as a model, this program will likely enjoy significant protection from legislative risk. In 1982, 1984, and 1988, the government changed the rules on the LERP, and when they did, they stipulated that the people who had these programs before the rules changed were allowed to keep them and could continue to contribute to them under the old rules for the rest of their lives. We call this a grandfather clause. Question: why does the IRS allow a 0% loan? Answer: technically, it's not a 0% loan. You are actually taking a real loan from the life insurance company and being charged a real rate of interest in order to preserve what the IRS calls an arm's-length transaction. The IRS's chief concern is that the life insurance companies charge a reasonable interest rate. They don't care what the life insurance companies do with the loan collateral account on the other side of the ledger. Some life insurance companies credit back the same exact amount that's being charged in order to make it both a tax-free and cost-free transaction. Question: how does the long-term care rider work? Answer: if you can find a doctor who will write a letter that says you can't perform two of the six activities of daily living, for example, feeding yourself, bathing yourself, etc., then some companies will give you your death benefit in advance of your death. Put differently, they will give you your death benefit while you are still alive for the purpose of paying for long-term care. If your death benefit is $300,000, for example, certain companies will send you a check for as much as 2% of that amount, or $6,000 per month, every month for the next 48 months. Whatever portion of the death benefit that doesn't get spent on long-term care will go to your heirs at death. Question: how do I know that the company who holds my LERP is going to continue existing in the future? Answer: you don't, which is why it's so important to look at a company's financial ratings. This is the best barometer of the financial solvency of a life insurance company. For more information, go to davidmcknight.com. This is Mark Cashman. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Power of Zero, revised and updated, How to Get to the 0% Tax Bracket and Transform Your Retirement, by David McKnight. This program was directed by John Doolittle. Executive producer, Dan Musselman. Text copyright 2013-2018 by David McKnight. Production copyright 2018, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.